Let's pray. Resurrecting Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems our thoughts and our words. Amen. In 1970, the Chicago Whites baseball organization hired a woman named Nancy Faust to play the organ during their home games. In her first season behind the keys, Faust played the classics, songs like Take Me Out to the Ball Game and Charge. You know that one. And then after a little while on the job, she decided to start improvising a bit. She bought a radio so that she could hear the play-by-play announcer call the game. And whenever she heard the announcer say a phrase that reminded her of a popular song, she would find a way to play that song during the game. One time, when the announcer told the fans that they would have to carry him out of the park because the game was lasting so long and he didn't know if he would make it, Faust started to play Carry Me Back to Old Virginia. And another time, when the announcer made a comment about how strong and powerful one of the White Sox hitters was, Faust played I Felt the Earth Move Under My Feet the next time he walked up to the batter's box. The announcer and Faust would go back and forth like this throughout the game. He'd mention something about the game or a player. She'd come up with a song that was a good old pun. And they went back and forth so often that eventually Faust developed or picked a specific song to play for each player before they went up to the batter's box. And she called it the player's intro music. Over the next couple of decades, Faust's innovative intro music developed into something that's now known as walk-up music. And there are two main differences between Faust's intro music and walk-up music today. The first difference is that live organ music has given way to pre-recorded music. Most of the early pre-recorded music didn't have any words. It was just instrumental songs. And it could be anything. Anything from an instrumental version of Paul Simon's Call Me Al to the theme song from the 50s and 60s show Dragnet. It was pre-recorded and it was available. It was on the table as an option. And as ballparks transitioned away from organ music to pre-recorded music, players started to realize they could pick certain songs. Which leads us to the second main difference between intro music and walk-up music. Today, players often pick their walk-up songs. And as you might imagine, players have different reasons for picking different songs. Some players pick a song because it energizes them. Some players pick a song because it helps them relax and focus. And still others pick a song because they think it will bring them good luck. Now, whether a player picks their favorite hip-hop or rap song, or they pick Anna's Do You Want to Build a Snowman from Frozen, which one player did back in 2014, the wonderful part about walk-up music is that it gives you a glimpse into a player's personality. Walk-up music does not tell you everything you need to know about a baseball player. It can't. But it can tell you something. It can give you a small window into who they are. In a similar way, I think our focus song in our service this morning, it doesn't tell us everything we need to know about what it means to be a Mennonite community of faith. It can't. Can't do all of that. But what this song can do is it can give us a small window into our understanding of who Jesus is and into our understanding of who we are as people seeking to follow Jesus together. I often refer to this type of song as a song about being church. Songs about being church are a little different from songs in praise and prayer, which are what we talked about last week. Songs of praise and prayer confess who God is, and they help us direct our desires to God. Often they give us words for the moments when we don't have words. They reach into the places where words cannot go. Songs about being church, they still offer those same gifts to a certain extent, but they do it in a little different way. Rather than reminding us of God's faithfulness, or simply reminding us of God's faithfulness, songs about being church help us see. They help us see what it means for us to be the faithful ones. Songs about being church often give us words to describe what it means for us to follow Jesus together. And so songs about being church, they teach us about who we are as followers of Jesus, which is why they're a bit like walk-up music. Just as walk-up music offers a glimpse into a player's personality, songs about being church offer a glimpse into our theological personality as a church and the faith tradition that we're a part of. Some congregations, they might sing a certain song about being church because it really energizes them. Some communities might sing a certain song about being church because it helps them relax. It helps them find a space of meditative and reflective prayer. And still others might sing a certain song about church because it teaches them how to live. Whether a community of faith picks a contemporary worship song about following Jesus or a classic hymn about the Eucharist, a song about being church is a type of walk-up music. It gives you a glimpse into that community's theological personality. It won't tell you everything about them or about the God revealed in Jesus. It can't. It's just one song. But it can tell you something. It can give you a window into who they are, who they long to be. And while we like to sing a lot of different songs about being church here at Bethel, we're going to reflect on just one for a couple minutes. And it's the song called We Are People of God's Peace, the one that Janelle read for us earlier. Now the text, the words of this song are based on a letter that Menno Simons wrote back in 1552. It's called Reply to the Accusers. It was translated into English in 1978 by David W. Augsburger, adapted by Esther Bergman in 1990, and then it was updated in 2017 by the Mennonite Worship and Song Committee that put together our new hymnal. And fun story about that update, they added verse 2 because they would go around and they sang each song as they were preparing to put pieces in the hymnal. And they read verses 1 and what are now verses 3 and 4. And then afterwards, the story goes, they finished reading and they looked at each other and someone said, "Yeah, but we're not. We don't do a very good job at this." And so they added that second verse, which acknowledges the fact that we often falter and fail in this sort of understanding of God's peace that we strive towards. And so this song comes to us as a work of community, as a gift from our forebears in the faith. And I think one of the best ways to see the theological glimpse that it offers is to slowly reflect on the opening phrase of each verse. Because the opening phrase, that opening image, it sets the tone and the trajectory for each verse. Each opening phrase has a similar structure. We're going to walk through it. It starts by proclaiming that we are. And the we in this hymn is expansive. It's large. It's wide. Whether you're whispering these words in your heart while your brain is just trying to sift through them, or whether you sing these words with vigor because they've been part of your life for decades, either way or in between, you are welcomed into the we that this song declares. And each verse offers a different image for this expansive we. The first image is that we are people. People. It's a familiar image, one that you probably know a lot about. People are creatures created by God for the sake of sharing in God's love. And the second image in the second verse is that we are heralds. Not your uncle Harold, but a herald in this song is a messenger. An official messenger of someone who has news to share. As a congregation, we are heralds. We are messengers. Messengers with news to share. The third image is that we are children. Not we were children, or we were once children, but we are children. All of us. And one of the really beautiful things about children is that kids are constantly growing in ways that are hard to ignore. They get taller. For some reason, they change the foods that they enjoy. They make mistakes. They learn how to fix the harm that they caused. As followers of Jesus, we are children. We're continually growing and changing. And finally, the fourth image is that we are servants. We live our lives in service to something and someone. Not because we've been born into this role, and not because we've been forced into service, but because we found a way of being that creates actual life. Not just for us, but for all of creation. We've stumbled our way into this beautiful reality called God's peace. God's peace. That's the qualifier to each of these opening phrases. We are not simply people, heralds, children, and servants. Instead, we are people, heralds, children, and servants of God's peace. There's an important difference there. Sometimes when we talk about God's peace, our language can be inspirationally vague. We can talk about so much without talking about much at all, which is a problem. Because in Jesus, God's life was not inspirationally vague. God's love was not detached from physical relationships. God's peace was not a social theory. When this song about being church invites us to sing of God's peace, it's important to remember that it's inviting us to sing about a specific kind of peace. It's inviting us to sing about the peace of God revealed in Jesus. It's inviting us to sing about how in John chapter 5, Jesus saw a man lying near the gate in Jerusalem, and Jesus healed him, even though it was a Sabbath, or perhaps because it was the Sabbath. After all, that's what the Sabbath is for. It's for healing our broken bodies. When this song about being church invites us to sing of God's peace, it's inviting us to sing about how in Mark chapter 10, Jesus welcomed children into his arms and he blessed them. It's inviting us to sing about how in Luke chapter 8, Jesus restored a man who had been possessed by a legion of demons. Jesus raised a girl from the dead. Jesus healed a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Because this is what God's peace does. It restores life to our bodies, to our relationships, to our communities. And when this song about being church invites us to sing of God's peace, it's inviting us to sing about how in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus summarized the entire law and the witness of the prophets with two simple commandments. Love God with all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. As followers of Jesus, this is the peace that we sing about and that we seek to embody in our life together. This is the peace that the life of Christ makes possible. And so the theological glimpse that this song about being church offers us, it is good news for your life and for mine. It is good news because it reminds us that our identity, our message, our areas of growth, our way of life as a community, that's rooted in God's peace. This is who we are as a community of faith. We are people. We are heralds, we are children, and we are servants of God's peace. And this is why this hymn about being church is such a wonderful walk-up song for Bethel and for the wider Mennonite and Anabaptist faith tradition. Similar to the way that walk-up music cannot tell you everything you need or want to know about a player, songs about being church cannot tell you everything you need or perhaps want to know about following Jesus together with others. And that's okay. Even though they can't tell you everything, they can tell you something. They can give you a glimpse. We are people of God's peace is one of those songs about being church. It reminds us that we are people created and woven together by God's love for the sake of sharing in God's peace. It calls us to be heralds who share a message of peace for all creation. It helps us to remember that we are children, all of us. We're continually growing in ways that lead to God's peace. And this song commissions us, it sends us out to be servants. Servants who cultivate the life-giving condition of God's shalom. As we sing this song together in a few moments, and as it revisits you, hopefully, in the days and the weeks ahead, may it fill your heart May it fill your hands. May it fill your imagination with the good news of Jesus. May it help you. May it help me. May it help us all together glimpse the good news of what it means to be church. And may it help us remember that together with followers of Jesus in every time and in every place, we are people, we are heralds, we are children, and we are servants of God's peace. Let's pray.